feel so bad.
You have to close the door also. It helps.
Okay, at the bottom is 213, on top it's 114. Okay, I know what left. Remember 3 weeks ago, we're discussing, remember, this concept that we say, some people say before doing a mitzvah, l'shem yichud kutshe b'richu shchintai, this to unite the two levels of godliness, to reveal, remember we learned last time, just very briefly, to give the analogy that's simply understood because in the Kabbalistic world, it's also male and female. When you have, the ladies, there's a wind outside.
Wow. What's it mean?
It's a wind, so don't get nervous.
You can't hear.
You're inside. You're not going to get blown away.
We are with a man.
Yeah. It's a man in the house. Yeah. You have male and female. So male alone, female alone cannot reproduce. When you have male and female unity, so then you reproduce. In the spiritual realms, there's the masculine levels of godliness, the feminine levels of godliness. So normally, under normal circumstances, it comes gradually. Okay, from the 10 spheres of Atzilus, it goes gradual. When there's a unity between Chochmah and Bina, which is father and mother, and the 6 spheres, which is called Kodesh Baruch Hu, and Malchus, which is called Shechina, which is son and daughter, again, male and female, so then you produce greater revelations of godliness. So when a person does a mitzvah, when a Jew does a mitzvah down here, they're causing spiritual unities in the higher realms that makes greater revelations of godliness down here. And he says, Avshaliyeis kavana zu amitis belibe. He says, even though to reach this intent, you know, we have to have this intent, you know, that you're uniting these levels of godliness. He says, even though to come to a level that you really, really want these unities of God, you have to have a love only to God, meaning forget the world. You only want godliness. You only want God's connection to God. That says, Nachas ruach levad, to do it for the pleasure of God. I'll explain this whole thing in a second. And not even to quench your own godly thirst. He says, to reach this level, the Alter Rebbe is saying like this. The truth is, for these spiritual unities of godliness to happen, you gotta be on a lofty level. And the only reason you're doing mitzvahs is because this is what God wants. And therefore, this is what I'm doing. It's not even to quench my soul's thirst to become close to God. It's not even for that. He says, what is it? It's like a child making an effort for the parents. This doesn't apply. It's unrealistic today. A child who loves his parents more than they love themselves. Try to find them. Migamei v'nafshei. In other words, like this. The proper way of serving God, we're God's children. Okay? Years ago, there was something called children gave up from themselves for the parents. That means they cared about the parents more than about themselves. Okay? In godliness is also, this level is when the Jew does it because this is what God wants. Not because I get personal gratification, even though lofty spiritual gratification of connecting myself to God, that's not going to do it. The real level of doing this level of unity of the godly spheres over there is when I do it because this is what God wants, not even to quench myself. So the Chayyim, he says, so what are we doing? He said, Mikomakim, it doesn't matter. Yesh l'chol adam lahargal atzmi b'kavanazu. Nevertheless, every person should make a habit of, you know, as they say, fake it until you make it. Even though you don't mean it to begin with, but to make a habit of trying to reach that level. Because even though it doesn't end up to be really, really true, emes lamite means not half truth, 100% true. Sheyachbis bezad, that's all the person should want, only what God wants. And nothing personal, nothing worldly, nothing. The truth is, though, every Jew possesses the real aspect of it. Meaning, there's a natural, not that I was going to explain now, there's a natural instinctive love that every Jew possesses just because they're a Jew. They have a neshama, okay? Born Jewish, become Jewish, it doesn't matter. You get this neshama within you, which is a descendant of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and therefore it's inherent within every single person as an inheritance from the patriarchs. And this natural love that the person has to Hashem, that's real. So even though your outward levels, your intellect, your emotions, your thought, speech, and action might not be on that level, but the Alter Rebbe says it really doesn't matter because your essence has that level. And therefore, like we know, revealing the essence is much, much easier than creating something new. And the Rebbe said this countless of times, even in the whole, you know, what's called the Kiruv movement, bringing people closer to Yiddishkeit, and many organizations are called Kiruv Rechokim, bringing closer the distant Jews, you know, all that. The Rebbe was adamantly opposed to that name. And the Rebbe said, no Jew is far. Behavioral, you might be far. But in essence, there's no thing as a far Jew. So you can't bring closer to Yiddishkeit a far out Jew because there is no far out Jew because the essence of the person is close. It's just external things of the person, their behavior, which is external. That is something which is distant from Hashem. And the Rebbe is saying over here, even though the ultimate goal is to love Hashem to such an extent that it's natural, like a child who loves the parent, we love Hashem more than we love ourselves. Nevertheless, even though that level is very hard to reach and to attain, but the Alter Rebbe says, Mikomaka, every person really has this by nature. We just have to reveal it. And there's a fundamental difference between having to create something new that a person doesn't have, or just to reveal something which is covered with mud.
Can you repeat that again?
You think I remember what I said? I don't remember what I said. Have a long-term memory, I have. The short-term memory is, people of my age don't understand. It's much harder to create something new than to reveal something that's there and it's just covered with mud.
Very nice.
The neshama of the Jew is there. It's not something you have to create. When you come to a Jew, even though outwardly they're very far from Yiddishkeit, but it's not something you have to now create Judaism within them. It's not that you have to create a neshama within them. The neshama is there. The love of God is there. The fear of God is there. Everything is there. It's sometimes, as we said many times, you know, you can have something covered with dust. You blow on it, you clear the dust. Sometimes you need a little shovel, a little one. Sometimes you need a bigger shovel. Sometimes you need a bulldozer to clear out the mud, right? But where are all the diamonds? Deep in the ground, where you need bulldozers to go dig them out, but the diamonds are there. It's not that you put diamonds in the ground. Diamonds are there. They're just covered with mud. And that's why the Baal Shem Tov, there's a pasuk that says, Va'atem tili eretz chefetz. Hashem says, Va'atem, you Jews, are going to be for me a desirable land. That's what the pasuk says. And the Baal Shem Tov said, what does it mean? So the Baal Shem Tov said, what is it God saying to the Jewish people? You are my desirable land. It means all the precious materials of the world, gold, silver, diamonds, is all in the ground. It's all there. The diamonds, the gold, the silver of the Jew is there. It's just buried in the ground. So you have to uncover it, but you don't have to create it. It's there. You just have to uncover it. And therefore, the Alter Rebbe says the truth is every Jew has this level naturally, obviously it's not enough. You have to reveal it. You know, you can't tell a spouse, I have a nature to love you, but that's it. I mean, it's not going to work. Not going to work too much. Or tell a kid, you know, but naturally I'm supposed to love you, but I hate your guts. I mean, it's not going to work. But this is what it is. And he said, "Mipnei ha'ava tivyus," because of the natural instinctive love, shebecholav kol Yisrael, that every Jew has in their heart, laseis kol mashu rotzen elyon baruch hu, whatever God wants. And therefore, as we learned many times, and the Rebbe would quote this Rambam countless times, there's a halacha, a few halachas, same concept. There's a din. If somebody was supposed to bring a sacrifice, and they didn't want to. Now, bringing sacrifices, the Torah says, it has to be willingly. The person did a sin, okay, they have to bring a sacrifice. So the Torah says you have to bring it willingly. So the Gemara says, and the Rambam brings this down in Halacha, what happens if the person didn't want to do it? He said, I don't want to bring it. So the Gemara says, the expression, you force him, in simple English, you beat him up until he says, I want to. The Rambam brings this down in the laws of divorce. That's what happens if halachically the husband has to divorce the wife, and he doesn't want to, and he has to be willingly giving the get to the wife. So the halacha is, you beat him up until he says, I want to. Not today, but you beat him up until he says, I want to. So the Rambam alludes to a very basic question. What type of will is that? I don't want to do it. I just don't want to get beat up. It's not that I want to give the ghetto. I want to bring the carbon. What are you calling that willingly for? And the Rambam says an extremely profound statement. Okay, and the Rebbe quotes this Rambam constantly about the greatness of a Jew. The Rambam says like this. Every single Jew by nature, wants to do what God wants. When he says, I don't want, that's not him. That is evil inclination talking. That's not the essence of the Jew. It's the additional evil inclination, the Yetzer Hara, that's talking. So when you take a stick and beat up the person, and the person says, I want to, all you're doing is revealing what the person really wants to do. Because the person really wants to do what's right. The Yetzer Hara is forcing him to go against his nature. So therefore, when you beat up the Yetzer Hara, and the person says, I want, that's the real will of the Jew. And that's what Dalai Rebbe is saying here also. Every Jew wants to do what God really wants him to do. That's the essence of the Jew, is to do what's right. So when you come to a person, let's say, and you ask them put on tefillin, or light Shabbos candles, or man or whatever it is, and the person says, I don't want to, they're lying.
We should beat
them up. Not in America. Maybe in a basement in New York you could do it, not here. In other words, figuratively speaking, you beat them up. Not hitting them with a stick. Because the truth of the matter is, when the person says, I don't want to, he's lying. Because who's the I that doesn't want to? That's the Yetzer Hara that doesn't want to. The real person, the neshama of the person, wants to do it. So when you're saying, I don't want to, that's not the person. It's the evil inclination that's saying that. So you beat that up, and therefore the person says, I want. That's what they really want.
How do you beat them with words?
See, today we live in a world you have to kill them with love. You can't kill somebody today with sticks. There's an expression in English, kill him with love. We grew up, kill him with love. Kill him with kindness, love. Kindness and love is the same thing. We grew up, the expression was always kill him with love. But kill them with kindness, kill them with love, an abundance of love will get rid of the evil. It's a whole new philosophy even today in the modern medical world of therapy with kids that turn off and all that. That's a whole new sheet out. There's no new outlook or way of dealing with it. Today you can't come to a person and beat him up and say, put on tefillin. I mean, it's not going to work. You have to explain to them how good it is to put on tefillin or to do a mitzvah, whatever it is. What?
Positive.
Yeah. Positive, not reinforcement, positive enforcement.
One time my son went for putting tefillin on someone very famous or something like that. And that person said, no, I don't want you. And then my son said, okay. And he left, just like that, okay? And he left. I was looking. The man felt so bad. He came out of the store. He followed him. But my son already walked very fast past the street, and he was feeling terribly.
The neshama feels terrible.
Yes.
Lost an opportunity to connect. Okay. The yichud zem, and he says, this unity that the person neshama really has with God is ritzeni or amiti, is really the real will of the person to be connected. Remember, I said many times, the Rebbe told this person, somebody came to the Rebbe and said, the Rebbe, I don't believe in God. So the Rebbe said, the fact that you say you don't believe doesn't take away from the fact that you do. I mean, you could say, well, you can't even do that today. You could say, I'm not something. Yeah, that doesn't take away from the fact that you are. A Jew is maminim, but they're maminim. The Gemara said, every Jew is a believer, the children of believers. If they say they don't believe, that's not true. It's not true. It's not, by the way, fantasy world. The real essence of the person believes and wants to do what God wants them to do, and they want to be one with God.
And if someone says, are you God? How do you know what God wants?
God told us in the Torah what he wants.
The essence doesn't make the action do the right thing. I mean, the essence of the person.
But when push comes to shove, when it's bow down to an idol, else I'll kill you, most of the simple Jews would give up their lives. And that's where you see the true test of who the person really is.
You think if someone come and tell you in a very bad condition that if you don't become Muslim, we are going to kill you. And they do kill, really. And that time you have to say, no, I am not going to become Muslim.
Yeah.
But you can become Muslim, get all of your things, go away, live happily ever after with your children.
You're not allowed to verbally say it.
Huh?
You're not allowed to verbally say it.
Verbally.
There's a story with Rebbe's father, besides it's a din shchon I'll tell you in a second. But there's a story with Rebbe's father, that in Rebbe's father's city, the Jews had to apply for the Russian draft, for the army. And if you wrote that you're not a Jew, it was much easier for you than if you wrote, don't go under Stalin, right? The 1920s. It was much more difficult if you wrote Jew. And there was somebody in the Rebbe's father's city that went to the Russian place, whatever it was, and wrote, he's not a Jew. And Rebbe's father heard about it, Rebbe Levick heard about it, and that Shabbos he made a fiery speech, the way it's forbidden for a Jew to verbally say, they're not Jewish, and you have to be mercy enough, you have to give up your life. The guy went, and he went back to the government, can you imagine? And he said, I want to change my thing. I am a Jew. There's a lot of things, you know, okay, I don't want to kill time with this. Were the Muranos in Spain allowed to do what they did? Halachically, they were not allowed to do what they did. Halachically, they were not allowed to do what they did. There were many families, tell you all the Muranos are gone, we don't even know. But for years, many religious Jews were not intermarried with Murano families because they maintained they were not allowed to do what they did, outwardly professing. And not only that, I heard from Chassidim that in the 1920s, under Stalin, when the Russians were catching Chassidim of the previous Rebbe, and they said to them, are you connected to Schneerson? and they could have said no, and it would have been much easier. Chassidim gave up their lives not to be verbally disconnected from the Rebbe. Even verbally. Not the mind of a big chassidim. They could have just verbally said, no, I'm not Jewish, or I'm not a chassid, I'm not a Schneerson person, or whatever it is. And the chassidim gave up their lives, not even to verbally say that they're not connected to, that's not Yiddishkeit already, but I'm saying just that level. For a Jew, in fact, there's a, I don't want to get into it now, there's a whole halachic discussion, even World War II. You know, a lot of Jews were hidden by non-Jews, and they said, the Jews were saying they're not Jews. Halachically, it wasn't such an easy thing, because it's something you have to give up your life for. It's not something of idol worshipping, it's something you have to give up your life for. Verbal acceptance of an idol is also what's called a bezrayo, an offshoot of Avodah Zarah.
But aren't there all sorts of things, even keeping Shabbos, and think that if it's to save a life, you're allowed to break?
Yeah, but not three cardinal sins, idolatry, adultery, and murder. Then you have to get killed. And this is an offshoot of idol worshipping. For a Jew to say he's not a Jew,
even to preserve their life.
Yep, it would be halachically forbidden. What?
But all of them are going to get killed. Eh?
Big God up there.
Yeah, but God...
God says you have to get killed.
So you said verbally they should not say, but they can write?
No, that's even worse. Writing is worse. Writing brings into action.
You have no idea how many Jews. Oh my gosh.
Okay. By the way, okay. Let's leave it to justifying the Jews. Rambam writes, everybody agrees with him, but Rambam writes that even though there's three cardinal sins you have to give up your life for, idolatry, adultery, and murder. But Rambam says, what happens if a person was forced to worship an idol? So even though halachically he did wrong by not giving up his life, he's not punished for it because he was forced.
What does forced mean? Yeah.
What is that? They'll kill you.
Yeah.
What you're just talking about now?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that the opposite of what you said?
No. I said you have to give up your life.
Okay.
But halacha says, what happens if you didn't, and you were forced to do it, and you were supposed to give up your life, you didn't do what's right, you're still not going to be put to death for it, because you were forced. And anytime you're forced to sin, but halachically you're not allowed to do it. You worshipped idols. You did a sin of worshipping idols. You're not going to get killed because you were forced to do it, but you still worshipped idols, and you were not allowed to.
Is that like the same thing then with Moranos? They were forced to do what they did? Would you say that?
They did wrong by openly going to the churches and all that stuff. Okay, anyway, let's get back to him. So this is the unity that a person really wants. Haino yichud ha'elyon shabbat silas. This unity of godliness, remember we learned, when a person does a mitzvah, they cause the spiritual unities in the higher realms. Which is done through the awakening of a person, meaning what a person does. By the unity of his godly soul, and its joining, in the revelation of Hashem, that dresses itself into Torah mitzvahs, that you occupy yourself with, and you become one. In simple, and you're saying it's very simple. When a person does a mitzvah, so they're putting their soul into the physical body to do the mitzvah, so therefore they are causing, because they are bringing godliness into their body and uniting their body with God by doing what God wants them to do, that causes up there in the spiritual realms the unity of God with the other levels of godliness to reproduce and to reveal greater revelations of godliness that couldn't happen before. So he says, even though, in other words like this, you're doing a mitzvah. Okay, we all do mitzvahs. We don't feel this lofty, spiritual, mystical sensation. He said, it really doesn't matter. Bottom line is, you're doing the mitzvah. It's your godly soul influencing your body to do the mitzvah. Your body is becoming one with God. That's causing that up there, God reveals more godliness into the world. Ideally, you know, should do it right, you know, with all the intent. And he says, work on it. Like we said, fake it until you make it. And that's really what it is. Because through this, you unite the source of Torah mitzvahs, which is God himself, because God is the source of Torah and the mitzvahs, right? Torah is God's wisdom, mitzvahs are God's will. With the source of his godly soul, which is called Shechina. We are called the Shechina, like you said, be the divine presence, which is the level of Mamala Kolam, the permeating level of God, the encompassing level of God, like it says somewhere else in great length. So he says, bottom line is, Alter Rebbe is explaining throughout this whole parish, okay, that even though love is higher than fear, but the key to all mitzvahs is to fear God. And therefore, when a person, even though we don't have this openly sensed, really great level of love that we're doing it, and not for personal gratification. There's a famous story with the Baal Shem Tov. You know, you ask a normal religious Jew in the street, why do you do Torah mitzvahs? They say to go to Gan Eden. Yeah? If you tell the guy, you're not going to Gan Eden anyway, would they still do the mitzvah? You know what I mean? The story of the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov once gave somebody a blessing to have a child, and God didn't want it to happen. So, in the heavenly court, they decreed that the Baal Shem Tov, because he gave somebody a blessing to have a child, that God didn't want them to have a child, and because the Baal Shem Tov decreed they have a child, God listens to it. So they decreed he lost his share in the world to come. Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov obviously was aware of it. He said, thank God, now I can serve God just for serving God. And the voice came out and said, you just got it back. But the bottom line is, the ultimate, I'll give you know where you see this example, whoever is a parent knows. When you do something for your kids, here he says about the kids for the parents, let's leave that out, let's change it a little bit. Okay? When a parent does something for the child, trust me, you're not doing it to get anything out of it. You ain't getting no thank yous, right? You're not getting anything from it. You're doing it because this is what they need. Not for yourself. You're not doing it for yourself, though. Oh, I'm great. Trust me, you're doing it because this is what they need. Okay, that's the ideal way of a Jew serving Hashem. This is what Hashem wants, and therefore that's what I'm doing it. Whether I gain by it, I don't gain by it, I lose by it, it's totally irrelevant. I'm doing because this is what Hashem wants. When a person does that, then it works. Okay.